Our program today, we have Dr. Daryl Strobing from Iowa State University and Dr. Tom Field from Colorado State University. And we thought, since that this was going to be our last CSOC Council meeting, we'd try to have a little fun. And so when they predict the future, what's going to happen in our industry and in our business the next 5 to 10 years, we will be holding them accountable. So without further ado, I bring you the Tom and Stro Show.
Before I start into this, I'm an NCBA staff member. If NCBA staff and employees please stand up if they're here. This industry owes these people more than we can imagine. In the last month plus, every dime my family spent with this organization was repaid 100-fold. I think we should applaud this staff and thank them for that. The Chinese have a great saying about trying to predict the future. To prophesy is extremely difficult, especially with respect to the future. I would guess that over the years at meetings like this in stockyards and at cattle shows and at state meetings and at bull sales, there have been countless predictions about what would happen to this sector of our industry. I know that my grandfather believed that the sun rose and set on the seed stock sector, that all great thoughts really began there. We've learned probably different since then. We do live in a time, though, where looking to the future is probably appropriate, because I think historians will look back at this time in our history, not only as an industry, but as a nation and a world, and we will be described as people who live through the age of uncertainty. And uncertain times create opportunity for us, very similar to what we heard about this morning from the story of bringing Apollo 13 home. And I think that's an important message, if you were there this morning, to keep that in the back of your mind. This is a wonderful industry that is both enhanced and saddled by its traditions. We all do this because we love this industry, we love the people. We love the lifestyle, we love the experiences, we love the relationships, and we love the history and the traditions of it. Baxter Black does a great job of telling many of those stories about each of you and me. And yet, if we let those traditions make us less competitive, we will fade into history. And so I thought this little quote from Forbes is right on the money. If you are not bloodying your nose in today's warp speed economy, we have a name for you: dead. And we're going to get our nose bloodied some. National Animal ID will help with that process, certainly, because that's not going to happen easy. And we may not get it right the first time, but we will. But we are going to get some bloody noses probably in the process as we move to new predictions and new tools and start moving the whole concept of genetic prediction from population genetics being enhanced by gene markers and potentially by new technologies we cannot even imagine. We are going to have to adapt. And that's going to be a part of our future. So in a chaotic world, the name of the game, I think, for any organization, be it seed stock or otherwise, is to define our purpose. We can deal with this chaos in several ways. One, we can run in the hopes that we will outdistance the change. We just run like crazy and hope it doesn't catch us. Two, we can hide in the hopes change will go away. Or we can follow Tom Peters' advice
And in defining our purpose, we can meet uncertainty by emphasizing a set of new basics: world-class quality and service, enhanced responsiveness through greatly enhanced flexibility, and continuous short-cycle innovation and improvement aimed at creating new markets for both new and apparently mature products and services. That's an engineering business person's way of saying we've got to get better at what we do to keep our market share and to grow new markets. So that's really our first challenge in the seed stock business. Individual herds, alliances, partnerships, and associations asking themselves, where do they fit in this chaotic world, and what is their purpose in helping our customers move forward? So the first step of this is to define the wants and needs of the most immediate customer. I applaud this end us being becoming consumer-driven. But we must never forget that the person who most uses our product and most understands its value is the commercial cow-calf sector. We must never violate their needs in this process. So as we talk about end product, let's remember that the name of the game for our customers and them holding on to their land and passing on to the next generation is the profitability they make, which oftentimes means don't cause them problems unnecessarily. And I think that's an important thing for our sector to remind ourselves of. Here's what we're trying to do with our little program in Colorado. Is we're trying to write a concise, clearly focused business plan and decide whether or not we're going to have a future as a seed stock producer, but I think it works. If you can direct the energy of people and the available resources towards the attainment of a definitive objective, human beings will be inspired to go with you, both your staff and your customers. Imagine what it must have been like in that mission control center for that group of very talented human beings. And I was just amazed when he said that his team, the average age was 26 years old, faced with absolute disaster on a world stage. And they rewrote their mission statement. We will bring them home. Failure is not an option. And we will direct all of our talent and all of our resources to this very clear mission. That's really what all of us have to do. The good news is that we get to do that driven by positive energy, not avoiding a crisis, but creating opportunity for others. Dr. Strobel.
And I'm supposed to follow that. Wow, see. It's a pleasure to work with Tom. I've really enjoyed the last couple of days. We did a session in Calumet College yesterday, and I've always respected Tom, but his concise methodologies of delivery are something to be said. One of the things I want to clarify with you that when we started to talk about doing this, we try to glean and we try to copy and repeat what some of the great minds in this industry have already stated and try to restate it, try to make it as clear as we can. But we steal. Yeah.
Unabashed.
Yeah, we're not bashful. The thoughts of Harlan Ritchie are with a lot of you folks here. I know that. Certainly, Troy Marshall is one of our real good writers here in the United States now that I thoroughly enjoy. Donnell Brown, some of your thoughts are included in here as well. But when you look at the realities that we're looking forward to in the seed stock business and in the cattle business in general, we're certainly in an information age. And if anything, That we have to do more and more of today, and that is recognize how doggone important it is for us to create what I would call decision-making information out of all of the data that we're now keeping. Huge, huge challenge. And, you know, you folks have it in here as breed association directors and certainly seed stock producers, Don sitting here in the AI industry and others, it's a huge challenge. And to put that into a position so that people can make good, logical decisions is one of the realities we face now and more will be pressing on us. Certainly, as Tom indicated, with the changes that occurred in December to this industry, we feel that we're going to definitely move at source and process verification at warp speed, and certainly much faster than ever before. We better strap in, make sure that we've got the bucking horse tamed down, because it's going to be a bumpy ride here, and certainly national ID is a part of that, and how we invoke that in our systems is going to be quite important. With all of the information we have and the bombardment that you as producers are doing with your customers, they do have information overload. And our challenge as we look ahead to the next decade is what can we do to simplify the process? So I think that's going to be one of the realities also as we look ahead. Then the other buzzword, of course, and you've heard it before, and that's supply chain development and how we can become better at creating supply chains that have uniformity and market position so that we can be competitive and more competitive with our own people that are business partners. And then finally, partnerships. And, of course, you know, that was one of the leverage points that was brought out by this industry and this association back over 10 years ago. That was one of the leverage points, if you'll recall, the creation of alliances and partnerships. We've had a lot of them tried, a lot of them failed, but a lot of them also have been successful. We need to sort, just like we do our own seed stock, and figure out which ones that we can mirror others off of and move forward. So those are the boiled down five realities as Tom and I think this thing through. I think Tom has already indicated that certainly what do consumers want? We always have to start looking back at that and make sure that they never are out of our vision, knowing that what we have to do. If you look at the food processing industry, and one of the quotes that pulled out of the Food Processing magazine, every company connected with the world's food supply chain will eventually have to embrace traceability or find it very difficult to stay in business. Should go without saying, but certainly we see what is going on in relationship to our competing countries in the red meat industry, and that is a fact of life as you look at those countries. The facts are uncompromising, and the pressures continue to mount in that area, especially from consumers, but maybe not those that are vocal, but certainly from the media, the retailers, and numerous government regulatory agencies who indicate that they represent the consumer. We always have to sort some of that, I realize. But certainly, what do those consumers want needs to be in this mix as well. Every attempt should be made to communicate with direct customers about the desired level of performance and information they want. In some cases, we probably, again, try to overload them with more than really what they truly want. Those with information are likely to have more power in the marketing process. And I think we've seen that without a doubt. We're going to continue to see that until it becomes the norm in our industry. No doubt, as you look at the branded product area, we've had a huge increase in that. If you look at the USDA chart, I didn't put it up here on this one, and we didn't grab that one, but we peaked somewhere around 2001, as I recall, with 51 or 52 certified USDA programs that were out there, and since then we've regressed back to about 40, as I recall the last time I looked, which is about last summer is when I looked. But that continues to be there. Mentioning process and source verification, if you look at that trend, there's a slight increase in that area, but right now in the neighborhood of 5 to 7 that are in that process verification mode. So that's not going to go away as well. I think what we are looking at when we talk about the systems that we're going to be, and that is to deliver on the promise of a brand and to capture the full value And in order to get that done, we're going to have to look at life cycle management in the beef cattle industry. And that means we're going to have to circle our wagons together as a group, form groups, so that we can look at life cycle management to bring these products and develop these supply chains that will give us that consumer confidence that we're looking at. Information is going to be certainly the foundation, and I think we all have to sit back and applaud the efforts that are going on within our breed associations on creating a great deal of information that we can use as a foundation as we go ahead. It still comes back to, though, we've got to look at how we can apply that information and create value. But realize also, though, the cattle are only the carriers, and we have to do the sorting and getting the thing put together. Certainly, as I look ahead, and already we're starting to see this happen, from the standpoint of simplification for our customer out there, the commercial cattleman, selection indexes and how we might be able to use those to help support decisions is going to continue onward. Will they be in the same form that we're currently looking at? You tell us. Hopefully our customers are going to tell us in the seed stock industry if what we're currently doing is correct or not correct. I think the judge and jury are out there, and they're going to cast their votes here before too long, I'm sure. So we need to be thinking about all the possible ways that we can to figure out ways to help simplify it. Obviously, and John Spader, I attended one of your seminars over in Eastern Iowa, and I guess we're in Moline, right, Don? I think the word is simplification, and the heck of it is we're still asking for more traits all the time, but we're still going to have to look at how we can put those together and continue onward in that area. Yesterday, we got a little bit of a message on that. Tom and I, in our Cattlemen's College session, we polled the audience, and we asked which of the following would be your first choice for a new genetic evaluation tool. Now, we didn't have a huge crowd. Obviously, we didn't have all the NCBA membership there, but there were 75, I think, in the audience, something like that. And out of that group, by the time we got done, we had 59 that answered this question. And overwhelmingly, they had two areas they'd really like to have some help in relationship to genetic evaluation. So our challenge is out there. Whether everyone would vote the same way, we don't know, but certainly it's there. But reproductive merit indexes and how we can put together information to allow us to do that is terribly important. 42% of the people said they'd like to have that as their first choice. 39% said they'd like to have something tied to maintenance costs and how they can look at developing a way to breed cattle that are more efficient in the utilization of the resources on their farm. That's they didn't say feedlot profit index, though. They said a maintenance one. Let us figure out the profit side of that. So kind of interesting in relationship to how that works. So information, leaders do not need to know all the answers, but they do need to know the right questions, and that's the challenge that we have to look at. Certainly, that's one we all need to be thinking about as we look ahead. Information, as you look at it, there's basically four fundamentals to assure that information is successfully integrated into a management decision. This comes from a couple notables, Davenport and Glazer. Assure that the knowledge base is up to date and founded on expert information, number one. Prioritize processes by directing focus in the most critical areas in which information will be utilized and valued. Establish an organizational culture of measurement, and that's probably the big one, getting things measured, and ever greater challenges. You know, when they indicated they'd like to have that reproduction index, we've got to get better at measuring those traits so that we can do those indexes. The same with when we look at the utilization and the efficiency area. So development of that culture of measurement is going to be a challenge as we look ahead. Certainly the systems will only work in a commitment type of a situation. Then finally, we've got to retrain and to collect and utilize that information. And I was reminded of that last night. I had the opportunity to go to Lamco's. They have a meal every year for us to talk to us. But, you know, usually it's a social thing. But last night we talked a little bit about Optiflex. and what the new generation is now in relationship to information that has to be collected so we can get FDA approval. It's a different ballgame we're in. And that's not going to be dissimilar from what we're looking at in relationship to the seed stock industry. We're in a different ballgame than what we have been. If we want to develop new, more advanced markers, we're going to have to be better at the culture of collecting information and measurement. So the day when we can take a few mulligans or do-overs, we're coming to a quick end, if not close to being over. So, Tom, I'll turn it back to you.
This is particularly true relative to Ames' golf game. Simplicity. I work in a world where everybody around me is so much smarter than I am. It's frightening to me. Where high-tech approaches are the solution to almost everything, where more technology, higher-powered software, more hardware, more techie stuff. And yet I keep watching my dad, and I think about him a lot. Any technology that betrays the premise of simplicity, and he is not a simple man, he's just not a patient man, must have an easily recognizable high net value to the enterprise if it is to be integrated into the business. And so as we go at all these things, again, can we tie what we're giving our customers to a profit motive? Because it's amazing to me, the number of people who in the last few weeks have said, you know, these new feedlot and grid indexes, man, I like those. They're reported in dollars. I get that. And they're the same guys who for the last 20 years I've been trying to explain milk EPD to. We got to try to put milk EPD in dollars. They'll get that to them real quickly. We asked a lot of questions yesterday, and Dr. Strobing was good enough to let me participate in a workshop approach that he actually developed, and so give him credit for everything good that happened yesterday. We asked some interesting questions of some customers, and it's a small sample, but we asked them, do you find the performance data provided by seed stock producers understandable and user-friendly? 21%. Small sample. This is all commercial cow-calf people who identified themselves as commercial cow-calf people. 21% said almost always. About half said sometimes, and we're not exactly sure what sometimes means. 21% said occasionally, and 7% said almost never. We have some work to do to help our customers understand all the stuff that we're throwing at them. Now, Dr. Strobing talked about this establishing a culture of measurement where you value that and like it. And that's cool. And those of us who are kind of analytical by nature, we think everybody ought to just jump on that bandwagon.